Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Killer Conversations, Conversations with Real Killers. I am once again your host, Brittany Bookbinder, and I'm here with my cat, Dr. Edmund. And Dr. Edmund and I have been really getting up to some fun local stuff. We've been gardening and taking the fruits of our garden, well, the vegetables, and pickling them. And you guys, it is so fun because it's like, you know, it's like memories. Like, you have this nice thing, and then you put it in this special little jar, and then you could save it for a long time, and it's still good. And pickling vegetables touches me in a way that I didn't know it would. And I guess this is why some people go to therapy. But anyway, we were having a blast. And then, you know, so we were going through kind of labeling things. He was helping me with the label maker, Dr. Edmund was. Well, you know, just kind of like sitting next to it. And it was just a nice picture to look at, really, if you were me, which I was. So I was going through. And then there was this one jar that I had not put in the refrigerator. It appeared to be like a brain, but like very small. Anyway, I was trying to like get a good look, and then Uncle Mort, you know, ripped it out of my hands and ran away into his study. So, you know, some things in life remain a mystery, I guess. Anyway, speaking of mysteries, today we're going to be talking to Patty Hearst, whose life is very much a mystery, I guess, because she was kidnapped and joined this rebel army, sort of. And a lot of people didn't know, like, did she want to be there? Did she not? Did she, you know, did she like magazines? Because, you know, her family was like, they had a big media empire. I don't know. I've never really enjoyed magazines because they remind me too much of ransom notes, but that's just, you know, a little quirk about me. Anyway, Patty Hearst seems very interesting, very cool, very fashionable. And I don't know, maybe she'll be like an exciting female role model because I'm always looking for more of those. Okay, let's see. Ready, Dr. Edmund? Okay. Beep, boop, boop, beep. Patty Hearst!
What in the holy hell?
Hi, Patty.
Where am I? Where am I? I need to know exactly where I am.
Absolutely. Oh my God, I just realized this is so triggering for you, isn't it?
Who are you and what do you stand for and who are you working for?
Oh, absolutely.
Who are you working for?
Okay, I'm not working for anybody. I'm kind of my cat. I have a podcast and my name, well, you can call me Brittany Bookbinder.
Oh, my God.
And this is my uncle's attic.
Your uncle's attic.
Yeah.
Okay, that does not bode well for me.
Kind of my playroom.
It's your playroom?
Mm-hmm.
Well, doesn't look like you're going to be doing a lot of playing up here. It looks like you're holding somebody hostage up here. I think you would know. Don't finish my sentences for me, please. Okay. Why am I here? How did I even get here?
Oh, I have all this machinery from my uncle. He's a scientist. But I'm not doing.
Who
any
does
kind
he
of
work for? Does he work
control
for the government?
He did. He used to.
Interesting.
But he doesn't anymore. At least I don't think.
He probably does. He's probably lying to you. If I've learned one thing, it's that people lie.
I bet you're right, honestly, because I'm always asking him if he's bought more orange juice, and he's always saying yes or kind of grunting, which I take as a yes.
Orange juice?
Clearly not. Yeah.
Orange juice, that sounds like a pretty simple problem to have. Look, I think I should be going. Where's the door?
Oh, it's right over there. I ask you some questions?
About what?
Well, do you watch TV?
I do.
What's your favorite documentary?
Oh, God. I like the one about ballroom dancing. I also, as you might know, I do dog shows. So anytime the Westminster Dog Show is on, I'm all over it. And actually, it's not a documentary, more of a mockumentary, but I really enjoyed Christopher Guest's Best in Show. I thought that was fantastically done.
Oh.
And I can laugh at myself.
Oh,
a lot of people
good.
Don't think I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I can laugh at people who do that.
Mm-hmm. No, you seem very fun.
I am a fun person.
Yeah.
I've found ways to have fun. I think my life is so interesting, and I think I've had fun despite it, despite the hardships and the horrible things that happened to me.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so
bold and so impressive. I'm also sort of looking for ways to have fun, you know, after my entire family was brutally murdered. And I oftentimes feel like I'm coming up short. So it is so cool to see a real live, powerful lady who's like really enjoying
stuff. Like powerful. That's not exactly the word I like to use when describing myself.
You're a person of the people.
Yeah. See, and even that is going to get twisted. So just say I'm a person. Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes I'm a dog person. Mm. You know, I'm a dog person. Mm-hmm. I think people like to twist the words powerful and woman, and then you get into radical feminism pretty quickly. And I don't want to go down that road again.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is kind of like crazy, but like before you were kidnapped and had all the things happen to you that were sort of, you know,
that ruined my entire life. That gave me a horrible image in the public eye.
Exactly. So you were an art history major, is that right?
Yes, I loved art.
Oh, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. I loved art and I loved history, and that was all taken away from me when I was kidnapped.
What's your favorite painting or drawing?
Drawings, the ones that I do, I like quite a bit. Anything that subverts, you know, the norm, I enjoy. I thought what Kandinsky was doing was really interesting and exciting. Mm-hmm. I thought he was just splashing paint somewhere and it wasn't supposed to be in a form. It wasn't supposed to follow any rules. But yeah, but on the other hand, following rules is good. You know, Monet, perfect impressionist. He followed rules. He sort of, you know, he was a revolutionary. Well, revolutionary, not necessarily good or bad. But he did his own thing. Also not good or bad. He just did a thing. So I think people, you know, they follow their own path and then maybe they're led in one direction or another, or they aren't. There's no right or wrong way to do your art or your calling.
I really like Calvin and Hobbes.
Another, you know, Bill Watterson was often ridiculed for using a very adult themes in a children's cartoon, but I thought it was really powerful and empowering to children. Not that we should give children too much power, but I'm just saying I think it's a good cartoon. This is why I don't like to talk to people.
Oh.
I feel like I'm being put on the spot and my words will be twisted.
Oh, I mean, just because there's like this one light bulb shining down upon you and you're sitting in this wooden chair.
It's very triggering.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that. I have this.
Are you sorry?
I am.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
People lie.
Oh my God, I know. Oh, I totally know. Yeah. No, I wouldn't lie to you, Patty. I don't really have anything left to lie about.
That's what DeFreeze said.
Oh, yeah. Febreze. No.
DeFreeze.
Yep. God.
What a cool name. He's rolling in his grave.
He was kind of an interesting character, right? He's he was sort of the head of the Symbionese Liberation Army.
He was the head of the SLA, and it was his fault.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was his fault that what happened to me happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think he was a brilliant, brilliant man, but not more than the average person. But he really had a lot of good ideas and equally amount of bad ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So
people are complicated. It seems like.
Thank you. Thank you. No one has ever said that to me before. People are complicated. We're not 100% or 0% anything. It's a lot of 50-50.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I totally get that. I feel like trials should be more like, not like are they guilty or not guilty, but like what's what, you know? Like
yes.
What's good and what's bad? And like, let's just throw some spaghetti at the wall, you know? Or like have some pasta. I don't know.
Spaghetti.
Like hungry. Yeah.
We had a lot of spaghetti.
Did you?
No. Trials are, justice is good. Trials are good. Justice is good. I think where it gets tricky is when the jury is presented with only half the information.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, it's like not really a jury then. It's
no.
Like a, you know, it's like a game of telephone.
Yes, it's exactly a game of telephone. One person says one thing, the next person says it's slightly different thing, and before you know it, I'm part of a radical terrorist group.
Yeah.
And I'm don't take that out of context. I'm saying that as part of a longer sentence.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nobody's going to listen to this, so this won't be taken in or out of context.
You say that now, but someone's listening. I bet your uncle's listening.
Oh, that would be actually really cool if he took an interest in my life. That That would be nice. So, Patty, I have so many questions for you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Also, before you were kidnapped, you were living with your fiancé, Stephen Weed.
Ex-fiancé, yes.
Yeah. I don't know anything about love because I'm, like, too young for love. But did he, like, try to find you or what happened with him?
He did. He worked with mother and father. And, you know, there was a whole spiel about him being beaten when, you know, the SLA came to get me. And the thing is, people focus so heavily on the horrible tragedy that befell him after that whole thing and how I parted ways. I wasn't happy before. Mm. I wasn't happy in that relationship before. But everybody, you know, looked at him as a victim, and I was the victim. And so, you know, I think he sucks. I think he really sucked at that time. He sucked it up big time. And his last name is Weed in the 70s. So I just think that tells you everything you need to know about him.
So he just kind of like was like the ugly thing that grew among the flowers.
Yeah. Have you seen photos?
Yeah.
He's not
pretty. Looks like a nerd.
He was very much a nerd. He was my math tutor.
Oh.
He was my math tutor. And first of all.
And you were so smart. Like, you didn't need a tutor, really.
What's an art history major doing in a math class? That's what I want to know.
In college? I mean, come on. You're allowed to focus.
Maybe if I hadn't been with him, none of this would have happened. So I like to put a lot of blame on him for that night. He didn't protect me.
Yeah. I think that's good. I think you should. Yeah.
It's nice to blame others.
I agree. I mean, I'm looking for somebody to blame, you know, for the murder of my entire family, like I said.
How did they die?
Ugh, it was too tragic to even get into, but I mean,
Machine guns? Revolvers?
I wish. I mean, that would have been at least just kind of simple. You're like a real pro with guns, right?
I learned. I am very good. Well, I didn't take to it too much or too little. I didn't, as anybody would be, you hand someone a gun and they'll find the trigger.
Yeah.
So
it's like getting on a bike.
Right. It's just like getting on a bike.
But you had some experience with your dad shooting, right? And then so
father taught me how to shoot.
Was it just like, oh, okay, like the distance between shotgun and semi-automatic war machine?
Think of it as a bike to a motorcycle.
Oh.
A bike to a moped. They're identical. One just happens to have a motor.
Oh, that's so... Wow. God, do you write poetry? You are very wise.
I should. Yeah. I should. I think at some point I began to feel very at one with the guns, with the machine guns. But, you know, it's only because it was survival. Mm-hmm. It was pure survival instinct kicking in. If you are in a hostile situation... you learn to adapt, and you learn to shoot a semi-automatic, you know, shotgun, rifle, big machine gun, all of them. You learn to do that.
You must have had very strong arms.
I did, but not too strong.
Just the right amount.
Just the right amount of strong. Decent aim, not great aim, poor aim. I never shot a person. Mm-hmm. I never shot a person.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of buildings, but never a person.
Yeah, buildings can take it.
Buildings can take it. That's what I've been saying this whole time.
Yeah. Yes. Buildings don't bleed.
No. No, they don't.
This episode is brought to you by World 2.0. Anxious about getting murdered? Worry no more on World 2.0. World 2.0 is built better from the ground up. Thanks to innovations such as equality, economic democracy, and interacting with other humans, everyone on World 2.0 has a happy, safe, and secure childhood. On World 2.0, there are no murderers, and people who are sick get help. World 2.0, coming soon, we all hope. Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you. I am funny. You know, I'm funny. I have a sense of humor. People don't know that about me. They just see terrorist or victim. And I'm also funny. I am very funny.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, Patty, I have so many questions for you. You made your own nickname. Tanya? Is that right?
Tanya, yes. Even though I didn't believe in going by different names, I didn't want to be part of the group. No, I didn't say that. I wanted to be I wanted to be included. And everybody had a fun nickname. I didn't want to just be Patty. Patty Hearst, you know, heiress to the journalism fortune of the world. So I said, well, what's something fun and sexy? And I thought Tanya was wonderful. I love the name. I love her story. Do you know her story?
Oh, yeah. She was a revolutionary, too.
Yes, she was.
Right? So, Eastern Bloc somewhere in Cuba.
She was
right?
In Germany for many years, in Cuba for many years. She really made it around the world. And I think that was something I always wanted. And I think at that time I'd only been in my secluded little world, and it was fun to be someone else for a little while.
Yeah. Oh, like playing dress up, but like with an identity.
And a machine gun, yes.
Oh, a prop. I think that's so cool. But it's not really like they wanted anything bad, you know. They just kind of like wanted some freedom, and they wanted to, you know, get...
They were very anti-capitalist, very anti-racism. But the thing is, they had good ideas that were just, you know, maybe they went too far. Not me. Mm-hmm. Not me. Mm-hmm. I was surviving. I love bringing it back to that. I'm a survivor. Mm-hmm. I really am a strong, strong, funny woman. And I survived a horrible ordeal. And I just want people to understand that. I don't think everybody understands that or doesn't do the research to know how funny and strong and survival I am.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you could get through it without being funny. So
I really made them laugh. I really made them laugh.
Did you? When you were in that closet, like, what did you guys talk about? Were you like, I know you were reading, but, you know.
Well, I was blindfolded most of the time in the closet. They gave me a flashlight to read. Mm-hmm. And to be quite frank with you, I was very good at shadow puppets.
Oh.
So I amused myself with those some nights, and then.
Would you show me some?
Do you have a flashlight?
Yeah. Okay.
Embarrassed. I never do this.
Dr. Edmund, hand me the flashlight. I'm just kidding. I'll get it. Okay.
Okay. So let's see here. Okay. So this is a bunny rabbit.
Oh.
Okay. Now tell me if you know what this is.
Oh my God. Is that Rasputin?
Almost. It's a seven-headed serpent.
Oh my God.
It's, you know, the figure on the emblem of the SLA. Not that I could do that all the time. I just whipped it out.
That is so impressive.
Okay, how about this?
Oh, a turtle.
A little turtle, and what's he holding?
Oh, a little cup of tea.
A little cup of tea. And now here's a machine gun.
Oh, my God.
And here's a rifle, and here are grenades.
Wow, very specific.
Yeah, so I had a good time, and I really made them laugh. I think I honestly think sometimes, if that's why I was kidnapped, if they heard about how charming and funny I was.
Right. I mean, I heard that it was like partially just because you happened to live like really close to their headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I mean, you were super charming. There was that guy, you know, after the big bank robbery when you held up that convenience store. And I heard that you were so, so sweet and so charming and fun.
Oh, he was a doll.
That the store manager that you had both attempted to rob, shot at, and then took hostage almost didn't report the incident because you were just so nice.
Yes, I am nice and I am charming. And I think especially people are very surprised when you're holding a machine gun that you can also be nice and funny. I mean, I think it's really a misconception about people in these types of groups. We're just trying to have a fun time.
Yeah.
And not we. I was holding that gun to protect myself.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But I think what was so spectacular about the whole ordeal, the whole year I forgot, was meeting wonderful people like that gentleman. I believe his name was Jack, I think. It's been so many years.
I mean, that sounds right. I feel like every guy from the 70s was named Jack.
Probably.
So I believe it. And then the bank robbery. I mean, take me through that. So it's like,
thrilling.
You have a lot of money, but like you're taking money from this kind of like small branch of a bank.
Well, and that was it. You know, I didn't need the money, but we needed the money. Well, they needed the money. Mm-hmm. So I, again, at that point, I...
More of an I to a they than a we.
Right. Uh-huh. More of a collective... them versus me. But I was there with the guns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just a nice thing to do. It was a nice thing to be a part of, to see what something like that was like. And then I was like, great, I've done that. I don't need to do it again. And, you know, I did. I had a fun time there. I made some jokes with some of those bank bank tellers. They had a fun time.
I bet they, you know, I mean, honestly, I bet on some level they were like, well, at least this is exciting, you know,
yes.
Day in, day out, just life sitting is banal. Behind a window.
Life is banal. And if we don't stop and do a bank robbery every now and again, what are we living for? You know, we're going to, life will pass us by.
Exactly. You got to stop and smell the gunpowder, people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
And I think I had to do the robberies to be able to be a success at the Westminster Dog Show that I am today. I do think that one literally goes hand in hand with the other.
I see that. Yeah, because they're like really both about kind of stepping outside of your comfort zone and like showing them what you got.
Yes. And really having confidence.
Mm.
Having confidence.
Oh, I would love to learn how to have confidence.
You will. You will. Ask your uncle.
Oh, well, I don't know that he's going to be much help.
If he works for the government, he can help you have confidence.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Okay, so you were kind of on the run for a while. You were also helping make improvised explosive devices. Now, is that at all like other improv? I've heard of, you know, people doing some kind of
It's very
thing.
Much. It's very much. You have to use what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have all the materials. You don't have a script.
Mm.
You don't have directions. This is an IKEA. I didn't make them. I didn't make them.
Oh, you were just kind of there.
I was actually doing improv in the corner. And they said, we're going to go over here and make some bombs. And I said, well, that's lovely.
You were yes-anding them.
I was yes and thank you.
Amazing.
Again, a lot of people don't understand that when you are with the same 9 people for months and months and months, you're with the same 4 people for months and months and months, you're traveling the country, you're hiding out from the cops, the pigs, well, the cops, you know, the just people. And you have to entertain yourself. You have to entertain yourself. And they wanted to make a bomb. What was I going to say?
Were you going to say no?
Right.
To the people with bombs?
I was going to say no, go make some tea.
Yeah.
No.
And also, I mean, being, you know, that you have a background in art, it does make sense to me that you're like, okay, well, you put this here and this other thing over here.
If you want to splash some red paint on the canvas, who am I to say no? Who am I to say, no, we're only doing blue paint today?
Yeah.
We're only doing green paint today. No, I really, my art history background goes hand in hand with my improv in the corner when they were making bombs. It really all comes full circle for me.
Yeah. You weren't a Mark Rothko, you know, kind of out there on your own. You were like a collaborator type.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
A Warhol. We were a little Warhol collective.
Aw. That's sweet.
It really was sweet. It really was. I mean, Wendy was a doll. I really had a nice time getting to know them. And when they were making those bombs, I learned things. Not that I used the learning that I gained. I'm just saying it was interesting to be a part of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and do you have any regrets about, like, getting caught? Like, how that all went down?
Well, No. Because I was a victim, remember? I was the one who was caught.
Oh, so it was kind of like
I wasn't caught. I was kidnapped. So when we were arrested, I was infuriated. I'm the victim here. So I think maybe I could have said some things at my arrest that would have made the trial a little bit easier. But, you know, that's in the past. And I'm Westminster royalty at the dog show these days. So I everything's worked out for me.
Brittany Bookbinder.
Oh, my God. Clara, the ghost that lives in the closet?
Brittany Bookbinder!
Oh, hi, Clara!
Oh, you look tired.
Oh, yeah.
Come here. I want to show you something.
Probably just look like I just saw a ghost.
Well, I am a ghost, so... That I don't understand.
Okay, what did you want to show me?
Oh, look over here. Do you see that giant water stain?
Oh yeah, on the wall over here that doesn't have the insulation. Yeah, what's going on?
It looks like a famous person.
Oh yeah, one of your who would have been alive? Fanny Bryce or who do you know?
I know all current famous people too, Brittany Bookbinder. You gave me all of those VHSs because you said I was making a lot of noise and maybe I should be quiet and watch a movie.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Oh, yeah. Okay. It does kind of look like a face.
It's fat John Travolta.
Oh my God.
Yay.
Yes. It looks like current John Travolta. That is so correct. Wow. You really must have been watching the heck out of those Scientology videos.
It's changing my life.
Oh. You know what? Maybe we could put a pause on those and we could just like watch some fun, lighthearted movies.
Oh my gosh, Brittany Bookbinder.
What?
You know what movie I really want to watch with John Travolta? Face Off.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Grease. Okay. Okay, we could watch that.
I only know Grease and I only know Face Off.
All right. Well, hey, Clara.
Yeah.
Let's have a double feature. So, actor John Wayne had said after, you know, while you were going through trial, that it was, like, so wild that, like, everybody was like, yeah, Jim Jones brainwashed, like, hundreds of people, but couldn't really get behind, like, one 20-something cool chick getting brainwashed. So, do you like Western movies?
Yes.
Oh, what's your favorite?
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Oh, nice. That's a classic.
Yeah, I like the rebellion vibe to it, but also just they're nice guys, you know? They're for the people and against the people, and they're just people.
Right. Oh, yeah. Movies about people, I think, are some of the best ones.
Definitely.
When you were in jail and you had to be in solitary confinement, on like a scale from like 1 to 10, like how bad was that?
11. It was an 11. I was the victim. I didn't do anything that would have warranted solitary confinement. And it really brought me back to being in the closet. Again, I love to remind people about February 4th, 1969, when they kidnapped me and put me in a trunk and then in a closet. So, again, I am the victim.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay. So, obviously, I'm guessing between, like, small spaces and big spaces, you're going to go big spaces.
Well, big spaces remind me of the country that I drove across and then drove back across in my year away. You know, big spaces remind me of the open plains of America that need somebody to step in and do something about what's happening. But also, you know, big spaces are lovely. It's lovely. And a small space is scary, but also not scary. It's comforting. So I don't have a definitive answer either way.
So spaces like people are complicated.
They are so complicated. We are complicated. Spaces are complicated. It's not just a safe space or a unsafe space. It's a little bit of both.
Trading spaces or trading spouses?
Trading spaces.
That's probably good. Jimmy Carter,
God bless him,
commuted your sentence. You only had to serve 7 years. Out of the first like 10 presidents, who's your favorite?
Oh, God. Well, Washington, because he was the original revolutionary. You know, I mean, he came from Britain. He came from England. He started a new country. He was the first man to lead a new country. And so I think that that's revolutionary and I really respect it. And also at the same time, I don't respect it. I don't know why he had to do that. So at the same time, I'm disappointed in him and proud of him. And I understand what he was going through exactly. But not that I did one or the other. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It was, what a complicated position to be in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, you got to lead these people by kind of stomping on these other people. It would have been crazy probably to be alive then. And also, like, I don't know that they took showers, so that would have been hard.
No, I don't. I highly doubt George Washington ever took a shower.
And he had wooden teeth, right?
He did have wooden teeth.
That's unbelievable.
Yes, it would have been very hard. I mean, combat would have been difficult with wooden teeth. You know, you punch somebody, wooden teeth fall out. Well, you don't really know if you've punched them hard enough because then real teeth aren't falling out, you know? So
You get anywhere near a candle, it's like, uh-oh, is my mouth on fire?
Right. You know, so who's to say? Who's to say?
Who is to say? Could you tell me about your dogs?
Well, I've got a Shih Tzu who's very high up in the Westminster lore. And I've got a French bulldog who won 2 years ago, I believe. I really am making a name for myself in the dog shows these days.
That's so exciting.
Ruby won at one point. We won best.
It must be so hard to remember all the accolades when you have so many. I mean, you're like an Olympic gold medalist for dogs.
Yes, that's it. And I almost won Olympic gold in running away from things. Well, they call it sprinting and long distance. But I decided not to join the team. I thought it would look weird, especially because I've had so much success since, you know, 76 and everything that happened those years. I'm such an amazing human being. I really am. And I think I have overcome being a victim and really been able to find my place in the world.
That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
And, you know, in addition to, like, you got out of prison, you got married, you had a family.
I did.
And you also were in a number of movies.
Yes.
Can you tell me just, like, your favorite John Waters memory?
Oh, God, he's such a doll. You know, I really enjoyed showing him how to fire a machine gun. It was really a joy. We were back. Wow. We were on set one day, and he said, "You know, I don't want to say anything, but I'm wondering about your past." And I said, "Oh, Johnny, just ask me." And so then he asked about the guns and how I use them and the bombs. And I was like, "Well, here, let me show you." And I had a machine gun sitting around, and so I showed him, and it was really a cool moment because I think we both bonded over the power of machinery and the power of violence. Not that I fully support it.
Oh,
I'm just
not
saying,
at all. Yeah.
I know how, and he wanted to know how. So
I get that.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of, like, role models either for personality or fashion. Do you think that I should sort of do with my eyebrows what he's done with his?
That's the hardest question you've asked me today.
I'm sorry.
And oh my God, no, please. I've been answering hard questions my whole life. I think he's a unique person and only he can pull that off. And I'm really,
true.
I hate to say that, but you.
No, I mean, I that's fine. I could not be more run of the mill. I think that's probably why the only reason I survived the entire, the brutal murder of the rest of my family.
Well,
Oh, my gosh. So, Patty, there's just so much that I've had such a wonderful time talking to you, and I could ask you a million more things. But if you could just give me one piece of advice, since you've written so many books and you've given so many interviews, do you have any writing advice?
Writing advice? Well, yes. You really have to get into the mind of your characters in order to best write them. You need to be able to get in their minds and understand how they think so you can write the script for them.
Wow. I'm basically just writing a journal so I, hopefully will remember things. I have the sneaking suspicion that my memories are disappearing. either because time is passing or because my uncle is hooking up some device to me when I'm sleeping.
It's probably the second, truly. I mean,
who can say, but
well, who
can
say? But I've had amnesia before and it is real.
Yeah.
It happens. Your brain, it's like hitting a delete key.
Yeah. The brain is a computer.
Well, human beings are human beings. We're not computers unless the government starts to take over, and then we will be turned into computers. So we shouldn't let the government get too big or too important.
Right.
Unless it should. You know, who's to say?
Yeah, who's to say? Oh, wow. I mean, the thing I love about you maybe the most is just you've got opinions, and I think that's really strong.
Thank you. I do. I have a lot of opinions. I have a lot of strong opinions, a lot of weak opinions, and a lot of, high opinions and low opinions, round opinions, a lot of different colored opinions. So, yes, thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah. Oh, this has been so lovely. Thank you for talking with me. I hate to send you back, but I know you've got a really wonderful life you're going back to.
I do. And it's really been a joy. I don't get to talk about this stuff very often. I mean, as soon as you say word one, everybody jumps on it and they have their opinions. So it's nice to be pretty frank about things.
I'm so glad that this wasn't as triggering as it was, at the get-go.
It really was triggering. Be more careful about that.
And that's a good point.
But you're very warm and this was very nice. And okay. I almost feel like we've known each other a long time now by the end of the interview.
Right.
Like I could hang out here for a while.
Oh, I wish you would.
I'd love to come back and start a podcast with you.
Oh, please come back.
Yes.
Oh, that would be so nice. In the interim, is there any, like I said, nobody listens to this, but if anybody did, is there anything that you'd want to plug or let anybody know about?
Well, just my dog show.
Oh,
just watch the Westminster Dog Show, please. Read my memoir.
Mm-hmm.
You find out the real story. And you know, people lie, and just remember that.
Mm-hmm. Mm, good plug.
People lie. Anybody you know is lying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, Patty, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Have a great rest of your day.
And
please
tell rest of your day.
All your dogs I said hi.
I will. I'll tell all my dogs you say hi.
Okay.
Okay.
Beep, boop, boop, beep. Bye, Patty.
Killer Conversations is produced by the IO Podcast Network. Your host is Brittany Bookbinder. Today's guest was Sarah Ashley. Dr. Edmonds' handler is Matt Edmonds. The spirit of the ghost child was channeled by Nora Ulray. Original music by Matt Edmonds. Recording by Spencer Rose. Edited by Fisher Parsons. Graphic design by Natalie Peoples. And remember, don't drop dead until you're on some nice soft carpet.
This episode was recorded at the IO Theater. The IO Theater is home to Chicago's best improv comedy, with shows 7 nights a week. They offer classes in improv, writing, and more. Visit ioimprov.com for a full schedule.